Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Fantastic. So I'm excited to welcome the program from ABC's Dr. Ken Jeong. Ken, thanks for calling, and congratulations on the success of Season 1. I've been watching your posts on Facebook and all social media. You got to be happy with the response from your fans, right?
Oh, are you kidding? I'm just so grateful to get a Season 2. At this day and age of television where there's like over 400 scripted shows on TV when you include Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, and I don't know, any show to get a second season, it's a big deal. And just to get a second crack at this, I don't take it for granted, let me put it that way.
And the Friday night time slot's been perfect for you guys, right? Family Friday night, and people really, that time slot of 8:30 really works well for you guys, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the show was built for Friday nights. It's a family-centric show, multi-camera on ABC following Last Man Standing. I mean, what's not to like in terms of that? So it's this year we're emphasizing family a lot more. And we're making it, but also still with the medicine, because my wife, who's a doctor, now works in the same HMO as I do. So we're really blending both worlds a lot more effectively this year.
Absolutely. So tell us specifically about the episode, Ken and Allison Share a Patient. And that's going to be interesting, isn't it? The mixture between you and your wife, yeah.
Yeah, this is the first patient that they share. I mean, Ken's a general practitioner. Allison's a psychiatrist, so they share a patient. Ken's like, this patient's depressed. I checked him out medically, and Allison checks him out and says, the patient's not depressed. You got to dig deeper. I'm like, what? Dig a little water? Excuse me? Pardonnez-moi? What are you talking about? So it basically leads to marital conflict, and it's really cool how we're blending both medicine and your personal life and your marital life, and it's all based on true life, because my wife in real life is a doctor, and we worked at the same HMO. So it's a lot of this is steeped in truth.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like you're saying to yourself, oh, my gosh, once you are how difficult it is to become a doctor, having two in the family and then going back and forth about specifically a certain situation can lead to conflict. My wife and I are both teachers, Dr. Ken, and I'm an educational consultant and do entrepreneurial work, but anytime a certain education case comes on, we don't always agree on it. We don't always agree on what's right and what's wrong, and then, especially we're both experts, it's kind of hard to agree on things, and that's what we'll be able to see in the show Friday night, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it, man, and it's so cool that you and your wife have the same vocation, because same thing with me and my wife, where I know there are times we would debate about our physician styles or our management styles, and this patient, this Friday's episode really exemplifies that. And what was really cool, I'm one of the writers and producers on the show. I found out a medical condition that could mimic depression, and it was based on a real patient case of mine, or a patient case of a friend of mine, and that can mimic depression. If you have like a high calcium level in your blood, you basically look depressed, but you're not depressed. So giving you an antidepressant won't help anything. You know, it's just basically you have to treat the underlying source, and it's common to miss a calcium level. You know, it's not the first thing you look for in a patient. So it's based on real life stuff, and not to be a nerd about it, but there is an academic value to this episode that even a med student could watch, and it's a teachable moment.
And after this episode, there's a lot of big things coming up this season, right? You're going to have a lot of new guest co-stars and stuff to stay tuned for this season.
There's a Shark Tank crossover episode. My TV son, Dave, played by Albert Tsai, goes on Shark Tank to pitch a hot legs duvet, which is basically a blanket with two holes cut out with scissors. It's like those kind of things. And we have a Korean ghost story for our Halloween episode. It's basically a Korean Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode. It's pretty cool.
And I love the crossover between you and Fresh Off the Boat that you guys do sometimes. That's cool.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yeah, I'm on their season premiere. I was in their season finale. I play Randall Park's brother, and we all went to Taiwan. We went to Taipei, Taiwan in August to film some of it. And I mean, Randall's one of my best friends. He's like, we play brothers on the show, but you know, we're become brothers in real life. I love that guy. And he's Randall's guest star on my show as well. So, I don't know. I'm very, very blessed, with the career that I have, and also you know, to be a part of ABC that has not one but two Asian American primetime family shows, and Fresh Off the Boat success is why we're successful. We really owe a lot to them.
I love Fresh Off the Boat. I've had a Forrest Wheeler on the show. Forrest is a great kid, and we're friends,
yep.
And I love promoting that as well. So does that season premiere happen yet with you coming on, or is that soon? Or is that already
that
happened?
That season premiere, I believe, is in, I think it's October 11th. And I think their season premiere is October 11th on the Tuesday, and our season premiere, we premiered last week, but actually this episode tonight, Ken and Allison share a patient, feels like the season premiere to me, because this is where you see Ken and Allison. Last week we explained how it's like the origin story of how Allison is going to work in the HMO, but tonight is the actual episode of, like, okay, this is the guys in action, you know? It's like you saw Batman Begins, now this is the Dark Knight. This is where things gets going, you know what I mean? So it's kind of cool.
And then also what's kind of cool about the show is you like real-life families, drama, different things, parenting, ideas. I remember last year I talked to you, Dr. Ken, about daughter issues. It leads to conversation as well. It's not just a comedy. It does show real situations that happen in family life, especially with two working parents. Two working professional parents and what goes on. And that's what I think is great about your show.
I mean, it's funny, to your point, we want to make it even more so this season. To me, the emphasis on family. My character's father, DK, moves into the house permanently to help take care of the kids. And we really explain and explore the dynamics of family a lot more, working with your spouse, you know, that burnout that can happen if you take your work home with you, with your spouse that works in the same place. You're basically the first person I'm going to say this to, but there's an underlying reason why my character's father is living with us. It's not like we're shoehorning a sitcom trope where my character's father's going to be with the kids just because he's funny. It's because my character's father had a divorce, and, you know, unbeknownst to Ken, and that will be explained in a couple of weeks. So it's really cool. There's a lot of really cool twists and turns that are organic. And last year, I wanted to prove I was funny. This year, I want to prove that the audience can connect to these characters as a whole. You know, I really want them to care for the characters.
And that's what's so great. And we could tune in again tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. But what I do, Dr. Ken, because I have such a boring, not boring, like busy life, my wife and I, we pick a day that we watch all our favorite shows, and you're one of our favorite shows that we kind of tune in on our DVR and say, okay, let's go through On Demand and watch it. And that's what's so great. You can watch it on demand anytime you want, streaming, all those different opportunities. So that's so great. So, Dr. Ken, best place to find info on you. Where can we follow you? You're a huge social media guy for sure. Where can we find
you? You can follow me on Twitter at Ken Jeong, J-E-O-N-G. You can follow me on Facebook, Ken Jeong, J-E-O-N-G. And you can also follow the Dr. Ken website, abc.go.com/Dr. Ken.
Well, Dr. Ken, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate you coming on, and best of luck with the season. And come back anytime you want, all right? I really enjoyed
it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Take care. You too. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show. We'll be back in just a minute. Tara, are you on the line?
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, doing fantastic.
Neil.
Excited to welcome the – yes. How are you doing? I'm excited to talk to from Little Women of L.A., Tara Jolay. And you know what, Tara? I'm excited. Dancing with the Stars, ABC. You got to be pumped up about Monday night, aren't you?
Mondays are so fun. It's fun and it's an adrenaline rush. I can't really compare it to any other day of the week other than Mondays when you might see Little Women LA.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when you were asked to do this, were you saying yes right then and there, or did you kind of consider it, knowing how busy your life is, to have to put this much dedication into this show?
When I initially was asked to do the show, I was petrified, honestly, because we start rehearsals 3 weeks after I had a C-section, and I really didn't know if I was physically able to do it, and so I had to get a doctor's approval, and they had to sign off. You're not even supposed to take a bath until 6 weeks after your C-section,
yeah,
let alone, like, vigorous exercise. So I feel like once I received that approval from my doctor and he let me know that I wasn't going to die, then I was ready to do Dancing with the Stars no matter what kind of schedule I was up against.
And that's challenging because now you're starting to train. You have to be in such great physical shape to dance, right? This is not like someone could just get out of bed and say, okay, I'm going to start doing all the routine that you have to do on to prepare for the every show, right?
Yeah, every routine is very different from the other routines. And in the beginning, it was not only me losing baby weight, but it was a mental and physical challenge. I was in extreme pain going through these routines and then having to go home and still having to, you know, do the regular mommy things, taking care of my children. And we were still filming Little Women LA. In fact, we're still filming Little Women LA right now. So it was
so
very complex juggling all three things. Yes.
The baby?
Definitely.
Little Women LA?
Two babies.
Two babies.
Yes.
Little Women of LA and Dancing with the Stars. When do you sleep?
I don't, Neil. I don't. That's okay, though. Because honestly, in the end, I'll know that it's for the greater good. Like, knowing that I'm helping people with disabilities and people see that anything's possible.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm glad you brought up people with disabilities because, Tara, especially what's happening now in our society and how we're forgetting them so much. I think that I'm an educational advocate and I represent families at IEP meetings and I'm really an advocate for everyone that's different. I'm 6'10 myself and I see that just because we're different doesn't mean that we should be left alone. And for you to represent little people by being on this show and competing is giving inspiration to so many people out there. You know that.
Definitely. I'm so grateful that you would say that. You know, I talk about it interestingly because Calvin and I on the show have more in common probably than any other performer. And Calvin is extremely tall and he can't just go into a store and find shoes and he can't just go into a store and find clothes. And I mean, little things that you think are struggles that are easy for everyone else are actual struggles for us.
Absolutely. And we're seeing a lot more at least talked about and discussed about little people, but we still have a lot of work to do, don't we, Tara? For sure.
Yeah, not just little people. I think anyone with a disability, I feel like a lot is just brushed under thinking that they are not able to accomplish the same things that somebody else of average stature is able to. And hopefully I wipe that dismissal away from their minds.
So now tell me about your dance partner. What do we expect, Tara, for Monday night? Can you give us a little bit of a hint what's going to happen?
I'm so excited to tell you about Monday night. Monday night is going to be definitely the hardest dance I've ever performed. We're doing a samba, and the theme of the week is Cirque du Soleil.
Oh.
I am stoked and scared. So not only are we incorporating different acrobatic things, some people have water, some people have silks, some people have fire. But it's just going to be an amazing show. I really can't wait to do it.
Well, I can't wait to see it for sure. And when I heard that you were on, I'm like, oh, how awesome is that? And what have you thought so far from the feedback from the judges? My first person I ever interviewed was Sharna Burgess. I interviewed Sharna
really?
From the Stars, and yeah, I've had her on a couple times. And we right when she before she you know has gotten a lot of fame and had really competed very highly for every one of the trophies. But the judges, that's got to be a challenging thing, right, Tara? To know what they say after all that hard work you put in the whole week, correct?
Definitely, I've received so much positive feedback from the judges that I am scared about this next week because for the first time, I'm not picking it up by Thursday, by Friday. I mean, hopefully I'm on my way as we speak to rehearsals, but it is, it's a whirlwind to say the least. And I just hope that I can keep up and measure up throughout this process. Hearing what the judges have to say, I feel, is so important as well. Even if it may feel negative, at the same time, it's very positive because they're helping you improve as a dancer. And I really hope to take whatever they tell me, which I know I'm going to get lots of notes next week. And I just hope to take what they tell me and move forward as a better performer.
And do you have dancing experience, Tara? Did you like dance when you were a child and stuff? Do you dance?
I went on tour with Miley, and I did a couple of other random tours, T-Pain, Lil Wayne, but it was not dancing. It was like a twerk show. So I have absolutely no dancing experience, no ballroom experience, no couple experience. This is my first time ever dancing with an average-sized partner.
Well, I can't wait to watch Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Best place we can follow you, Tara. Where can we go? What's the best places to follow you?
My handle on every piece of social media is Tara Jolie, my name, TerraJolie. And on Monday nights, I would love everyone's vote. The number is 1-800-868-3412. 1-800-868-3412, and I'm really grateful. Thank you so very much for this conversation.
All right, take care, Tara. Thanks for calling. I appreciate you coming on. All right, you're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out on Twitter, @TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, and also on Periscope, @TotalTutor. And I'm excited to welcome the program from HBO's Westworld, Angela Serafian. Angela, thanks for calling, and how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk.
I had the premiere last night.
All right. Fantastic. So that was a lot of fun.
I had the premiere last night, and it was a lot of fun. We had a really great time. The show is so beautiful.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of great things coming up. People are just really excited about the day, October 2nd, aren't they? And the launch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. We shot the pilot 2 years ago, so we're really happy that it's finally going out there for people to see.
So you were keeping it a hush hush, right, Angela? You got the part, but you can't say anything. Go through all the filming, all these different things, and work with such an amazing cast, but really can't tell anybody about it, right? And now finally, on October 2nd, you can start to share more, right?
Oh yeah, everything was rather secretive on the show, and it was secretive from the first episode to the very last, so we didn't really know what was going to happen from each episode, which made it really, really exciting for us as well. So I think now that the show's starting and people are going to see it, I think they'll live that experience as well, because they won't know from one episode to the next episode what's going to happen. So it's really exciting for it to finally go out, and I'm curious to see how people will respond to the show.
So tell me a little bit about Westworld. I looked back and did my research, and it came from a movie before, right, Angela? Is that correct?
That's right. Hmm. Yes, yeah. It's based on Michael Crichton's book and his film from 1973. That was the original inspiration. But Westworld is really a Western that meets a science fiction film. So it's like a vision of the future, which includes visions of the past. It's a very immersive experience and kind of the synthetic Western. And the series inverts the premise of the film. So in the film, instead of like being about the guests who are victimized by robots that go crazy, the series is really about the guests who are the perpetrators against the robots. And the hosts are like these ultimate method actors. There's this kind of purity about them. They live in this full Western world. They don't know what time it is, like in terms of the year or technology and where in the world. They just see the current world that they're programmed to live in. And so they're created for our guests. Then the guests can come out and live whatever fantasy they have, whatever desires that they'd like to meet. And it could go crazy because there are absolutely no rules. There are no consequences to any actions they take.
I mean, I find this really fascinating. I'm a huge science, again, into the science fiction, and then involving the Westerns. And you know how popular they're getting now, Angela. I mean, they are huge in the last 2 to 3 years. It's become so popular. And put that mix together, and wow, what an opportunity for you and the show.
Yeah, yeah. I think this show is so pertinent today because it's really the direction that we're going in. And I personally love Westerns. So when I started working on the show, and working even before I got the part, I was watching the original film, and then I was watching the Westerns that we kind of grew up seeing, you know, like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Once Upon a Time in the West, and The Magnificent Seven. There's so many. And so now to be a part of something like this is just... I feel very lucky.
And the cast, Angela, I looked at the list of the cast and I said, wow. I mean, an all-star cast for sure, isn't it? Working with such talented people.
Yeah, they're not only really talented people, but they're really great people too. I think we really lucked out on this show because everybody gets along and genuinely gets along really well. And they're so down to earth that you don't feel necessarily all that intimidated to work with them on the show. The story is so important that, you know, we all get together to tell this kind of beautiful story. So it's like, it's such a pleasure going to work every day.
It definitely is a pleasure. And again, from your career so far in acting to work with people you've watched in so many amazing films. And it's great to know that the cast really gelled together and they see that the most important thing is the story. We've seen such great shows that have come off of HBO, right? With such talented casts. I mean, when you got this, you said, we just could name them and then just fantastic shows and you're going to add to that mix. And I can't wait to definitely tune in for sure.
Yeah, I feel very lucky for that reason. I've been a fan of a lot of the shows on HBO for a very, very long time. They've had an impact on my life. Even today, I really got into The Night Of, and there's an animated series called Animals. And so I think that they always create very unique and great, meaningful shows. So I feel lucky to be a part of that family.
Let's learn about your character. Tell us about your character on the show.
So Clementine Pennyfeather is Beth. She has an amazing name, and she's this beautiful host. She's one of the more popular attractions in the park. And I work very closely with Tandy Newton's character, Maeve. And so they work at the saloon in Sweetwater.
Okay.
And men come to see them to make their fantasies reality.
Just like those old West movies, those shows and stuff, right? And
that's right. Yeah, exactly.
And
the difference, though, between Clementine and most other girls is that she genuinely falls in love. She falls in love with the men that come, or women, and she doesn't do anything that is destructive, but rather everything comes from kind of a pure place.
All right. So, again, October 2nd, the debut. I know you're going to be going crazy on social media that day, right? For sure. And hitting up and saying, who's tuning in?
Check it out.
Yeah. And all that.
Yes, definitely. I'll be there. I'll be on Twitter and Instagram. And I can't wait to hear what people think of the show once they see it on Sunday.
And as I've heard, the reviews are fantastic, and another winner for HBO for sure. Angela, where can we follow you, find information on you, and learn more about you? Where can we go?
I have Twitter, and I also have Instagram. So you can follow me directly on there. And I think those would be the best options. Those are the best outlets.
As Angela Serafian, is that is that pretty much everything for Twitter, Instagram, and all that?
Angela Serafian, exactly. Just my name. And you'll see a little blue check mark, so you'll know it's definitely me.
Yeah, and that's exciting. And I was checking out a lot of your different stuff that you do with modeling and other opportunities coming your way. So congrats on all the success and continue to grow as an actress. And I hope to hear huge things from Westworld. Maybe we'll be tuning in next year and saying, hearing awards and all these different things. So best of luck. Good luck with the show. And I appreciate you calling today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I hope so.
All right.
Have a great time. And thanks so much for having me on your show.
Take care, Angela. See you later. Okay. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out on Twitter, at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, and also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome the program from CBS's new family comedy, Man with a Plan, Matthew McCann. Matthew, how are you doing? And thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Now, you know, your name and the show rhyme. Isn't that kind of funny? Matthew McCann, Man with a Plan, almost like a certain thing. So I guess the stars were aligned with this opportunity, weren't they?
Yeah.
So I made you laugh on that. So now, Matthew, tell us how specifically a little bit of background of your acting career, and then we'll get right into Man with a Plan.
Well, I started acting when I was 7. I really started doing commercials, and I haven't really done anything huge. Man with a Plan is my first big thing. I've done other small commercials and stuff, but nothing this big. I've been acting for four or five years now. And I've been in Dallas at Captain Sullivan's Acting for Film.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you went from just doing commercials to this opportunity. So tell us a little bit of how this opportunity worked out. How did it happen?
So I went out for pilot season, and we did auditions, and the apartment that we were staying at for pilot season was right next to CBS. And we got to do an audition for CBS, and we were like, how cool would it be if we got this, because we would just get to walk over every morning and go to work. And I was like, that would be really cool. So then we did a couple auditions, a couple callbacks, and then I got the show. And I was really happy because it was just right across the street.
Yeah, that's cool. So you basically are from Texas. So you decided just to go out to pilot season, or have you gone to Hollywood before for opportunities before this?
Yeah, I went out to, I did another pilot that didn't get picked up, but I've gone out there for auditions and came back, but I haven't really gone out to LA for anything major yet, so this is the first one, and I was really happy about it.
Oh, absolutely. So you go out there and have this opportunity happen and to work with such an amazing cast. So this is all new to you, right, Matthew? Finally, you get on the set, you start filming, and you're like, wow, look who I'm playing opposite to and stuff, right? You're kind of pitching yourself, right? First big opportunity, and you're on a show like this.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, from just commercials to doing a big show, and it was, it's surprising because from commercials to doing it with Matt LeBlanc, it's just great.
All right, so tell us a little bit about the background of the show, then we'll get to your character. What the show's about, what should we expect? Again, it's on CBS, Man with a Plan, and tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, the show is about our mom that's been taking care of us, and our mom wants to go back to work, so our dad has to start taking care of us. And our mom and our dad have a different way of taking care around the house, and we have to start getting used to our dad's way and not our mom's way. And My character, I play Teddy. He is the middle child of an older sister and a younger sister. And I'm kind of a sneaky kid. I don't really hang out with everyone. I'm more of the one that wants to go play his video games and just sit down and kind of like a lone wolf. I'm just...
Interesting. Now let's go. Yeah, I love the storyline because it kind of almost brings back to the days of Mr. Mom. I know I'm dating you completely, Matthew, but the fact that dad's the one running the house, mom's back to work, and now dad has to figure out what works with you guys, right? And you guys are playing him like a fiddle compared to what you would do with mom, right, in the show.
Correct. So, like, since our mom, she kind of, I guess you could say, spoiled us. She did all of our chores. She, we didn't really know what the meaning of chores were. And she just picked up all of our clothes if we just, like, throw them on the floor. And our dad has to, like, teach us and make us into, I guess, proper children. And like, he wants us to do our own chores, and he's trying to figure out different ways of making us do what he wants. And yeah,
so Andy is your mom's name, correct? Is that correct for the show?
Yes.
And Andy basically would always want to be that kind of mom. I'll do it for you, dear. I'll take care of this. Then Adam comes in and says, no, this is not how it's going to happen. This is not how it's going to roll. But then he finds out you guys aren't willing to say to do it unless there's something in it for you guys, right? That's what you're kind of trying to say to Adam, right?
Just face that.
Definitely. Okay. So, yeah. It sounds like a really funny show. I heard it's got some great reviews already, for sure. And I'm excited to put it on my list of shows to watch with my wife for sure. Cause it kind of reminds me in a certain way that I have different rules and sets when my wife's working and I'm the entrepreneur, but I'm sometimes home with the kids and I have different rules. I expect things differently. And then that sometimes leads to some chaos, some fun, and definitely parents and kids watching the television show are going to say, I remember me doing something like this. And that's really, really cool. What would you say, should we expect from your character this season? Any ideas of, is he going to change because dad's home to help and stuff, or is he going to still be mischievous in your opinion?
He's going to change, since our mom kind of let us do what we really want. Our dad is making me do what he wants me to do, but I'm still going to be pretty sneaky. Because our sisters and, like, us together, we're like a team, and, like, nothing can break us. So we still figure out our ways of doing stuff, but, like, we can't let anybody figure out. So together we, like, have, like, a group that nobody can take down, I guess you could say. And, yeah.
All right, so everyone needs to tune in for Man with a Plan, and the premiere is Monday, October 24th, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central. So you're excited about the premiere, aren't you?
I'm very excited.
So you guys are in this filming phase right now still, right? Correct? So you guys are still filming?
Yeah, we're on episode 7. We are doing a little hiatus break, and we are going back to do episode 8. And then we still have 13, and then we hope that the back 9 gets picked up, and then we just keep going.
So what do you think about working with Matt LeBlanc? Is he funny on set and stuff?
He is really funny on set and off of, like anywhere really, but I've learned a lot from him because since he's been on so many other comedy shows, his comedic timing is like spot on. And, I can say that, a lot of people from the cast have been he's taught a lot of people.
Especially with this whole run with friends, that helps a lot in the process of getting used to a comedy. And there's a live studio audience as well, isn't there, Matthew?
Yes, sir.
So how is that working with that? That's challenging too, right? To have people watching you the entire time you're filming.
It's actually, it helps the whole cast because we get a feel of, it's kind of like theater because the energy, we get so much more energy from people watching us and getting real laughs and knowing what is funny and what we could do a different way. And it's amazing with all the people, just everyone in the crowd watching us, and it just helps us so much, like knowing what we're doing right and knowing what we're doing wrong and what's funny and what we can change. And it's just amazing. I love the crowd.
All right. And what do you think of your siblings, working with them on a regular basis? Do you enjoy them too?
It is so much fun because we're just actually like a family. Like, we love playing around. And the first day that we were there, we weren't just like, "Oh, hi, my name's Matthew." No. We were like, "Oh, what's up? You want to go play outside?" And we were like, "Yeah." And no, it was like an instant chemistry. It was amazing playing with them. It's amazing being on set with all of them. And yeah.
And I also noticed that part of your cast is Kevin Nealon, and he's another funny guy that I'm sure jokes around all the time on set too, right?
Kevin is hilarious. He is our Uncle Don, and what he plays is he plays the uncle that thinks he knows everything, but it actually leads to something bad. So if you ever hear the word, "Oh, I heard it from Uncle Don," you know it's wrong.
Well, I'm sure you're pumped up. Premieres Monday, October 24th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Where's the place? Is there a place we can follow you to, Matthew, and learn more about you? Where can we go?
We can go on Instagram. It's Matthew McCann. And on Facebook, it's Matthew McCann. And Twitter, it's Matthew McCann. And
everything. That's great. And get ready. We'll definitely air it through syndication next week. But again, because of the premiere of that week, we will air it as well to promote the premiere of the show as well in October. So best of luck in your ventures, finishing filming and stuff. Can't wait to check it out. Love Matt. Like a lot of the characters, what an all-star cast for the show. And I've been, again, hearing a lot of great things about the show. So best of luck, and thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. See you later. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Neil Haley's show. You can check me out on Twitter at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley Facebook, LinkedIn Neil Haley, Instagram Total Tutor, Pinterest Neil Haley, Google Plus, also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm with Peter Elvidge, my co-host. Peter, we have two amazing celebrity guests to finish up the show, but you've been blown away by this live broadcast and television taping, right? The guests have been so amazing. We've learned so many things.
Yes, so there's so many interesting topics. There's so many interesting, like the authors, Ground Zero. It's been so awesome just checking out all the great stuff, and I'm ready to hear some more to finish up the wrap.
We need to do Facebook Live for sure for this, because again, and TV can see how crazy my day is. But I do think I have my guest on the line. Melissa, are you online?
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Fantastic. So I'm excited to welcome to the program Melissa Carcace from Lily on Nickelodeon's Every Which Way. Melissa, thanks for taking the time today to be on the show. And it's very, very interesting. Always another interesting year of your show and stuff. So tell us a little about your background and getting into acting. First of all, we'll get into your show.
Sure. Hi, Neil. I'm so happy to be on your show today. I basically got into acting, I want to say, very early on. I kind of knew I always wanted to be an actress. My first play was in kindergarten, and I played a crow. I didn't have a big part in the play, but I knew instantly that's what I wanted to do. The only problem is my mom wouldn't let me do it professionally until I was about 14. So that was a big struggle for me. But once I got in it, I just kind of fell in love with it, and I've been doing it ever since.
Very interesting. What would you say was your big break? I mean, it's always interesting when I talk to actors about this, Melissa. They say, what was their big break and what ones that took off and said, you know, I know this is where we're going and this is where my big opportunities are coming.
Well, Every Which Way was definitely my big break, for sure. I had been auditioning and just doing commercials and things like that for 10 years. So it took me 10 years to book that part. And I was very fortunate enough because I booked it in Miami, which they really don't cast, you know, big roles in Miami. They usually cast, you know, very small one-liners or extra work. So I was home at the time, which is Miami's where I'm from. And, and I auditioned for it. And within 2 weeks I was sitting on my first table read. So it happened really fast.
We usually don't have those, success stories, overnight success stories in acting, do we? Not really.
Right. No, I don't. I mean, I don't know if they really exist, to be honest with you. For me, definitely it's not overnight. and I mean, I'm still, you know, it's still a grind. You know, I feel like in anything that you do in life, it's you do get breaks and you do get breakthroughs, but it's not like that feeling of, you know, I always imagined that I was going to feel like this Super Bowl feeling of like, oh my gosh, I booked my first big part and it's amazing. And I just felt like myself. I didn't feel any differently. I knew I had accomplished something I wanted for a long time, but I knew that there was so much more to be done and so much work to do. And that's pretty much my mindset right now as well.
Absolutely. My co-host, Peter Albage, I'm sure has some questions for Melissa. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, so my curiosity is about the show Every Which Way. I apologize, I'm unfamiliar with it, so I'm interested in like what the show is and then what kind of character you play in it.
Sure. So the show is about a teenage witch called Emma, who discovers that she has powers, and you know, she kind of doesn't know what to do with them, and she's in high school, so she's got all the drama of being a teenage girl, and then on top of that, she's got powers to deal with that she doesn't know where it came from. And my character of Lily, I play her guardian, her witch guardian. So I'm kind of disguised, I would say, as a school nurse, to protect Emma and to teach her how to use her powers. But what's interesting about Lily is that she is a witch guardian without powers. So all guardians are not born with powers, which is pretty interesting. They're just trained to help witches like Emma to use them and stuff like that. But it's so much fun. I mean, Lily gets in so much like chaos and in so much little like things. Like she gets turned into a monkey in season one, which is my favorite episode that I ever shot in the series. I actually got to like get all this hair and makeup and had to act like a monkey. I mean, it was amazing. And so of course we get dirty. It's Nickelodeon. So there's always food around or, you know, people are getting like dumped in oatmeal and ketchup and stuff like that. Thank God we had showers on set. So people were always taking showers because everybody was coming out of like the soundstage just covered in something. But it was a lot of fun. And that's who Lily is. And that's what the show is about. It's really fun. It's a really fun and funny show. And it also has some heart. The character of Emma lost her mom when she was young. So we do discuss that in the show and what that is to, you know, be living with a single parent and then obviously dealing with powers in school. I mean, that's just chaos.
Yeah, and also, Melissa, did you go back in the history, I don't know, you know, different witch shows? I remember interviewing somebody about that whole situation of a show that played a witch in another show on another station, and not Sabrina or anything, but later on, that looking back at the history of witch shows and how they've done well, you know, from Bewitched and all that stuff, did you go back and watch any of that stuff to see the interactions and all that?
Well, I grew up watching Bewitched. My mom loved that show, so I grew up watching that, and I definitely grew up watching Sabrina. I saw Sabrina the Teenage Witch was like so cool. And I still, even if I can find them on YouTube, because I don't know if they do reruns anymore, but definitely on YouTube, I watched some of the old episodes, and I did do some research on that, but it felt so natural to me because I grew up watching those shows.
To think about if you really, Melissa, ran into somebody that was a witch, how you would react. That's what you think about when you're reading your lines and stuff, right? Wow, powers. How cool would that be in high school or, you know, school, right?
Oh, that would be amazing if I had powers. I mean, if I had powers,
it would be a real overnight success, right, Melissa? You'd have a real overnight success. Like, oh, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think I would have used my powers to get my career started faster, but I don't know how humble I would be if I did get it pretty fast. So I think it's better I didn't have any powers.
Now, Peter, any other questions for Melissa? I have a couple more, but I know you do too.
Yeah, it's just an interesting question that I just got for fun. Is if you had to choose from the powers that are in the show currently that you would all of a sudden get, what would it be and why?
Okay, so it's a tricky, tricky question for me because I secretly would really love powers to tell the future. I'm very, well, A, I'm very curious, mm-hmm. and B, I'm just always so like, I have no patience for things, which is kind of what I'm learning to do now is just having patience with life. I would love to just see how everything ends up, but at the same time, that's a double-edged sword because, you know, I'm sure I'm going to have to probably deal with some unpleasant things, and I really want to see that part. But if I could tell the future, that would be kind of cool. And also mind reading. I kind of like, I don't know if it's an actor mm-hmm. thing where you're just always like wondering what people think about you. So I think that will serve me well in my auditions, actually. If I could just know what the casting director's thinking, that would really help.
Yeah. Now, Melissa, any other projects you have currently going on? And what's going on with your show and all that stuff? What's new with you?
So Every Which Way is so it's done in the U.S. So we wrapped up the fourth and final season, which was great. I was so glad that we were able to do that and close the story up the right way and give the fans the closure that they wanted. But currently the show is still airing and is airing even like season one around the world. I'm not sure where we're airing right now. I know that we aired in France and we different parts of Europe. And even in Afghanistan and all these different parts of the world that I'm getting all these tweets from. And I'm like, oh, look, the show's, you know, I don't know, in Greece somewhere. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. And then I'm currently writing, which is exciting. I've been developing a series for a year and a half now that that I hope the fans will get to see very soon. It's going to definitely show a different side of me, and I'll be able to actually accomplish one of my dreams as being a writer and creator. So okay. I'm very excited about that, and that's what's going on. Been a busy girl after Every Which Way.
So after that, you decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead now and start wanting to write, so see something in your dream. And I'm sure you're auditioning while writing, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've been writing since I was a kid. I was one of the, you know, I wasn't a very good student in school. And so one of my, you know, the best things that I could do was write. So we had a class of writing and things like that in my high school, and that's really where I excelled. And I remember when I first came up to Los Angeles, I moved here when I was 18 years old, and the first 3 years I couldn't even get an audition. So I did very, very bad and had to move back to Miami to kind of start over. And my dad, you know, got me this little laptop and this little, like, you know, screenwriting software.
Right,
and
right.
He said to me, he said, if people are not going to give you the opportunity, give yourself the opportunity. And so, I mean, I looked at him and I was like, okay, I think I'm going to do this. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I wrote a pilot. I wrote a 1-hour pilot within a few days. And I just felt this, like, I just kind of knew this was something I wanted to do, but I felt like, well, maybe when I quote unquote make it, then maybe I would do the writing thing. But no, I just never stopped. And I have been developing a few things for a few years. And this particular project is very close to home. And I'm excited to hopefully share with everybody soon. And writing and creating is definitely my passion. I mean, acting is number one. That's what I fell in love with as a child. But writing and creating definitely is a huge dream of mine, and I'm excited about that part of my life and part of my career.
It sounds like it for sure. And when you're talking about the writing and creating, do you look to write a book someday, or is it going to be more writing screenplays, what is your plan in writing what you're working on right now? You don't have really an idea yet. You're just writing for writing and then figure out where it takes you?
Well, no. This particular project is a TV series, and it is written, and it's being pitched around and things like that. And then my other projects are screenplays. I've always loved film. I love television, mm-hmm. too, but my first love was film, and so I would love to start going into the independent route once I kind of am done with this project. I mean, I've been dabbling on my other screenplays, but once I'm done with this one where I can get it up and running, then I will go into the independent film route. So that's pretty much. And then, I mean, maybe a book one day, but I feel like, you know, I need to probably live a little bit more. I need to experience a little bit more so that I could write. You know, my goal is to help people in any way that I can. And I hope that any book that I write could help that. I mean, obviously, like we talked about earlier in the conversation, definitely this is not an overnight success for me at all. And I kind of wanted to share that journey with people and kind of let them know that, you know, your patience is everything. And and it's really a very long road, but eventually you'll get there, you know. And then I feel like that's telling those stories, I feel, could help people, give them a little peace of mind. By knowing that they're going in the right direction, they just have to have a little bit of faith and a little bit of patience, and they'll definitely get
there. That's great. And see, and I see that you have that, but you also see in this business that you need to be more than just an actress. You need to be able to write. You need to be able to produce. You have to do all these different things so that you can stay important in this business. And you're finding things that you love, Melissa, and you're going for it. And that's what it sounds
exactly.
like.
I mean, I think it's important, any business that anybody's in, you need to learn the business aspect. And I feel that early on as a kid, I lacked in that because, you know, you watch so much on television and movies where you feel like that overnight success does exist. So you fall in love with the illusion of what Hollywood is. But Hollywood is a business just like anything else. I mean, my parents are in construction, so it's just like construction. It's just a business. And so I grew up watching my parents build companies from the ground up. You know, my father failed 3 times before he succeeded in construction with different businesses. And so I feel like the business mentality is in my genes, and I love that aspect of my world. And I think that's why I love writing and creating, because I love the business part of it. But I feel people should really educate themselves in any business that they're in, learn the ins and outs. Obviously you're not going to play every role. I mean, I'm not going to be a studio executive, but it's important to know those roles so that when it comes time to deal with people like that, you know what you're talking about, that you're educated, and that you can close the deals that you want to close and make your dreams a reality.
You know, basically the fact is that the business with independent film, creating your own projects are going to give you the opportunity to have success and then go on and get work more. And that's what I've run into a lot of people doing that now, for sure. Where's the best place, Melissa, we can find information on you, follow you, and where can we go?
Well, I'm everywhere. So I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat. And they're all the same name. So it will be Meli, so M-E-L-I, and then Carcache, C-A-R-C-A-C-H-E. Those are all my handles for all my social media. So I'm out there. I'm loving Snapchat, by the way. Snapchat's my favorite social media platform right now. So,
I'm a social media expert and do not know how to use Snapchat yet because I'm 43. I gotta get better at that. And I don't understand. You'd have to educate me on this, Melissa. And I'm gonna say
I'll help you.
Oh, you'll help me. Okay, we'll definitely stay in touch and stay connected via Twitter, Instagram, and wait till my team tweets out this for syndication. You'll be getting a lot of information, and that's great. We have an international audience as well, Melissa, so I'm glad that your show is being played all over the world. So good talking to you.
That's
I appreciate the call.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I hope I talk to you guys soon.
All right, take care. Thanks, Melissa. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back.
Tell me a little bit about the storyline, and then we'll get into your character.
Well, the show is about conviction integrity in it, and our job is to right the wrongs of the wrongly convicted. So we are to try and get people out of prison who have been wrongly convicted ultimately. We have 5 days to do it. And, you know, unfortunately, like, there are some people who, you know, just weren't given proper representation or, you know, they, you know, claim they didn't do it, but the evidence was stacked against them. So we have to sort of, like, filter through all those sorts of things. And my character is Maxine Bowen, who is a former NYPD detective who has been, you know, suddenly retired and joins this. And, you know, so we use my police expertise. However, I'm also undoing the great work of our, you know, my fellow cops, so they're not too happy about that.
Yeah, that's a challenging position you play because, you know, you're a police officer so many years. Now you're looking back and seeing when police officers or judges made mistakes, and you become a big bad guy very early in the show, I'm sure, for sure, with characters on the show.
Absolutely.
Have you ever played a police officer before?
This is my first detective, but I am also playing a detective coming up in the new HBO series Big Little Lies in February.
All right.
That seems to be my new genre is detective.
And an interesting time to start playing that role, and especially the show Conviction, when we're seeing what's happening with improper arrests, things happening with police officers in society right now. I mean, this is a perfect time to really get in the conversation, isn't it?
100%. We're seizing the moment. And then you've also got, you know, with the fascination with Making a Murderer and the Serial podcast, you know, everyone wants to hear about these cases of all these, you know, wrongly convicted people, and how do you help them? You know, it's, to me, that's almost more fascinating than, like, finding out who did it. You know, I mean, like, you get to find out who did it because you got to figure out, if they didn't do it, then who did? You know, you can't just be like,
yeah,
they didn't do it, get them, you know, off the hook. You've got to, like, also still solve the crime, and then we have a deadline because there's just so many cases. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
And I'm sure there's some dirty things going on as well in the office, and you're trying to be still the good cop in certain ways, because certain people are out to make money more than rightly get the accused not convicted anymore, right? And that's part of the storyline,
well,
I'm sure, as well. Yeah.
There's some of that. There's also, you know, each character, you know, you've got, you know, Emily Kinney, who plays Tess, who was with the Innocence Project formerly, and you've got Sean Ashmore playing Sam, who was a DA, and you've got Manny Montana, who was a forensic specialist. I mean, everyone's got their past, particularly Haley Atwell, who plays Hayes, who is the former president's daughter, and, you know, this wild child law professor. You know, everyone's got their reasons for being there, and, you know, secrets are revealed ultimately.
But ultimately, you're trying to right what is wrong. That's
100%
your ultimate goal.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yes,
and I
right
think that's great, because we can't we always think that our court system is able to do it, but there's lots of dirty people out there, and this show will give you that idea that yes, we can stop things that have happened that have been people have been wrongly accused of crimes, and to uncover murders and things like that, and to not always go by one decision, always fight, especially if you're a family of a member that this happened to or something, that guess what? You never give up. You might get them no longer accused, right? That's part of the story too.
Yeah, we're trying to, you know, fight for people who don't have somebody advocating for them, you know, to use our privilege to help those who don't have it, per se. You know, we're going to interrogate, investigate, and hopefully exonerate.
Ah, that's great. Fantastic, for sure. And where can we follow you on social media and stuff? Where's the best place we can find info on you and stuff and check out what you're doing?
You can follow me on Facebook, on the official Marin Dungy Facebook page, and then on Twitter @RealMarinD, and I'm also on Instagram as Real Marin Dungy.
Awesome. Well, I guess you're probably the most recognized. I saw that you've been in a lot of other shows since King of Queens, but you're so recognized because people just love that story of the working people going to work every day, normal suburban lifestyle, and just how funny that show was. So I think you'll always be, in a lot of ways, people will always remember you as Kelly Paul.